Three ridiculous men, one beautiful game. Some Canadian guys talking about soccer.
All right, hello everyone, and thanks for listening to the Some Canadian Guys Talking About Soccer podcast, available on Sportsnet.ca and on iTunes. This is Daniel Squizzato, a.k.a. Squiz, and I'm joined by my two fellow writers, fellow podcasters, and fellow Canadian guys. First, he once went on a strange erotic journey from Milan to Minsk. Now he's a soccer writer for CanadianSoccerNews.com, Grant Surridge. Grant, how's it going?
It is going fine.
How's Minsk?
Minsk was fantastic.
Good.
Erotic.
Yeah.
Definitely strange. Also with us, the former CEO of Vandalay Industries, who is now a soccer writer for Sportsnet.ca and senior editor at Sportsnet Magazine, Jamie Doyle. Jamie, how are you?
I'm glad to be out of the latex business, I suppose.
You wanted to be my latex salesman. On today's show, we will be looking at the 2 weeks worth of questions that we've accumulated from you, the listeners, and answering them in whatever way we see fit, which will probably not be especially intelligently. But yes, we'll be answering questions from the audience. We will also be speaking to our colleague Ben Knight, who's going to tell us about the upcoming CSA presidential election, the movement towards reform within the Canadian Soccer Association, and what that means for all of us who follow the game in this country. Later on, in promotion relegation, we'll hit on a number of things. I forgot to ask the other guys what they were doing, so I don't have a list. But I can tell you that one of the things will be the original Reds going marching in to Rogers Centre, most likely. And stay tuned for a special edition of Taste the Trivia, where you could win a pair of tickets to see Canada in World Cup qualifying this summer. So a lot to get to. But before any of that, Jamie, I asked you how you were off the top, and we missed last week's show. Those people who listen regularly may have noticed our absence, and we were kind of delicate and polite about it at the time and said it was just unforeseen circumstances. It wasn't appropriate to bring it up at the time, but now I'm going to bring it up. Why didn't we do a show?
Well, at the time, I thought I had food poisoning.
Yeah?
From a bad batch of Thai red curry.
You got to watch out for the red curry.
It turns out, after discussions with my mother, who is a nurse, that it was probably... stomach flu.
No, it wasn't, Jamie, because stomach flu is not a thing. It doesn't exist.
It's just the names. All right, gastroenteritis.
There you go. Influenza is a respiratory illness. You can't have it in your stomach. You can't just add...
Yeah, but I certainly hope not.
Grant went down with a bad batch of foot flu, and that's why he killed his soccer career.
Grant, that was the foot spray.
Grant went to the casino and came down with a case of bank account flu.
Yeah.
But Jamie is hopefully back to 100% strength now. You feeling good?
Yeah, and I feel better that it's not food poisoning, because it means that I have hope for eating Thai red curry again.
You can still eat Thai red, but the thought from the same place.
Well, no, I'll never go back there, but the thought of it kind of still turns my stomach a little bit, and I get the feel. I've never had full-blown food poisoning, and I get the feeling that it's it ruins you for whatever it is you ate for the rest of your life.
I've heard that.
Yeah, well, poisoning is generally bad. Grant, you had a particularly friendly and diplomatic way to refer to what Jamie was suffering. What was that phrase you used?
Monkey bum.
Monkey bum.
Is this a common phrase that I'm just not aware of, or is it another Grantism?
I definitely think it's a Grantism.
Yeah, I became aware of the term when Grant and I went to Nicaragua, and he was very glad that I brought a large bottle of Pepto-Bismol to ward off monkey bum, as he called it. Although we were both, because we drank nothing but rum, we were both pretty safe. From the scourges of Central American water.
I don't think any bacteria survived in my stomach after those 10 days.
No. So remember, folks, the medical advice given to you today by some Canadian guys, if you find yourself suffering from stomach flu or monkey bum, drink large quantities of Nicaraguan rum, and you'll be just fine.
Chased with Pepto-Bismol.
Indeed.
Or any pink bismuth.
Only that one. People don't come to us for medical advice, I don't think, or at least they definitely shouldn't.
They should. We're really doling it out here.
Yeah. Ask me anything. Come on.
Well, Grant, people do have things they'd like you to answer.
I know.
Which brings us to questions from the audience. Over the last 2 weeks, we've asked people to send us questions, Facebook, Twitter, all the ways they can get a hold of us about Canadian soccer, about whatever else, and we're going to hit on as many of those as we can right now.
We're not hitting on these people.
No, we're hitting on the questions, which is
weird.
I've
got a few questions for you now.
All right, well, we can get to that at the end, which is a good choice of words. Grant, As you clearly you're ready because you're screwing around on your phone.
No, I'm ready. Probably
looking for answers to these questions.
I'm ready.
I'm going to throw it out there. The first question we have comes to us via Twitter from Jay Humphreys. The question is, what Canadian national team result, men's, ladies, or youth, would you change if you had the power to do so?
Now, is this result in the sense of one game, or can it be...
Like, why are you asking me to explain someone else's question?
Over a period of, say, 30 years?
I don't know. It says, what result would you change if given the power to do so?
I would change... the one result I would change would be the last round of World Cup qualifying. The first game Canada played against Jamaica, when they went to BMO Field and drew 1-1.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even... All I would change is a two-inch... the trajectory of a ball by 2 inches. Julian de Guzman's shot, instead of hitting the crossbar, it goes in. I think that would have changed everything.
And I think those extra 2 inches could have changed the trajectory of the ball, the trajectory of the game, and maybe the trajectory of his career. But
I thought you were going to say my life.
But well, that probably would have changed your life in some way, too. Jamie, do you have an answer?
Well, I've got a response to what Grant said. Yep. Something along the lines of, aren't we all wishing for that extra 2 inches?
Yeah. This is going well. Okay. Jamie, I would pick, do you have an actual answer?
I do have an actual answer. I would pick, 3 days later, and I would change the results of Honduras, Canada.
But that was such a glorious event, Jamie. I mean, it's the first time I've been to Honduras. It was quite a nice place. They had a surprising amount of poutine, and they also had a place called Super Sex, which was strange. But anyway.
Well, you just revealed what you guys did after the game.
That was actually the first branch they opened in Latin America.
Really?
That one we saw in Honduras.
Oh, that's kind of remarkable. They were doing good business, so that's good. You want local business to succeed.
The point is that I think that's where it really started to go wrong. Because, I mean, it wasn't a win, but we did get a result against Jamaica, and you could have built off of that. And it was a good game, and everyone could see, like, we played better than the result suggested. It was a fluke goal that went in against us, and we didn't get that crossbar. But the one that really killed everybody was the Honduras game.
Okay, now I'll just flip it a bit here. So
we have a lot of these to get to, Grant.
Let's
make
say
it quick.
We won the Jamaica game. Would you still change the Honduras game?
Well, if we had a still, yeah, that would make it, that would be a better, why would I change the Jamaica game?
No, you might still want to lose.
You might want to keep it in reserve and change another one.
I don't know. I've answered the question. We can't have multiple answers.
Like, we're already hypothetically manipulating time
and
space.
Choose your own adventure book.
Just quickly, I would change the result of the 2007 Gold Cup semifinal, and I think people know why.
Yeah.
Move on to the next one. This comes from Grant. Can you read his name? He actually wanted me to you to read his name. Just the name, not the question.
I have a feeling there's a pronunciation issue coming up.
Henrique Lowen?
Well, he'll be happy to have heard
Lone?
You try. Yes. So the question is...
Wait a minute, how do you know how to say his name?
I met him, he's a good guy.
Oh, okay.
Do you think TFC should trade a player like Plata for a good MLS defender? If yes, who should they get? And I guess if no, nothing. Jamie, what do you think?
I was hoping you were going to go with, if yes, blink once. If no, blink twice. I was going to try and explain the realities of radio. All right, I think probably yes.
The realities of radio?
Yeah. We have to explain it to Grant, too, who still does gestures.
I still think I'm on television.
Yeah.
I think that we're as equipped to talk about the realities of radio as we are about gastroenteritis. But anyway, Jamie, trade Plata for a defender, yes or no?
At this point, it doesn't seem like the worst thing they could do.
All right. Grant, what do you think?
Do we get, like, sort of lifelines from the audience on these?
No,
because the questions are coming from the audience.
It's a podcast, Grant. No one can communicate with us right now.
Yeah, this isn't live. No one can communicate with us. We're in a pod.
We're inside the pod. We're not let out until an hour and a half after this is over.
All right, I'm just going to answer.
Yeah, sorry, what was the question?
I'm going to move on to the next one. Right. This is from Keto Strito on Twitter. If Plata scores over 15 in all competitions, will you guys dress up like the Beastie Boys and perform Intergalactic? I personally have no problem with this. Grant, will you?
I don't know that I would do that.
Jamie?
I would do it if I get to be MCA.
Okay, Grant? Is there any, like,
I guess if you guys are doing it,
Grant's Mike D.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at it this way. You know, Dwayne Rollins made a bet a couple of years ago concerning Chad Barrett scoring 10 goals. He wore a dress.
How many goals does Plata have now?
If I'm not mistaken, he's got 2 from the CONCACAF Champions League. And I assume this means this calendar year in all competitions.
Right.
So he needs 13 goals. No, over 15. So he needs to be 16 or more. He needs 14 more.
All right, I can agree to that.
All right.
No one.
And they never really said where we have to perform.
No.
Just at Grant's house.
Grant, and we've still got the bet going about whether or not you're going to go to Clown College. So remember to.
I don't even remember.
That's not looking good for me.
Yeah.
Because I bet the TFC.
What was the bet?
Who would make the playoffs first? You had Montreal and Vancouver, and I had TFC.
Okay.
Montreal and Vancouver need to make it?
No, either of them.
Yeah, Jamie, you're screwed.
Well, I mean, it's essentially Vancouver against TFC.
I'm going to start doing some research on clown colleges then.
The first thing you could do is re-listen to our podcast so you know what we're talking about
for
week to week.
At least remember our podcast.
Diego on Twitter asks, do you guys, speaking of Chad Barrett, or literally anyone else, understand why a team like LA Galaxy would continue to play Chad Barrett? Jamie, any ideas?
No, I don't really. I mean, he's got, apart from the fact that he's a fully functional human being, like,
wow,
he's got all of his arms and legs and everything, and he can
all
run around. He's aware of how to kick a ball. You know, he's there.
Grant?
I don't know. I mean, I think coaches play bad players all the time.
As someone
who's followed sports for a very long time, I can definitely vouch for that fact.
As a man who followed the Winnipeg Jets in the 1980s.
And now.
And now. Well, they're all right now, I guess.
There's no Sergei Bouton around now.
No, there isn't. But no, I mean, coaches play players that fans dislike all the time, and they just can't understand why they're doing it.
The coaches must see something in them, or
it's called depth, guys. You just
gotta
have depth.
You can't afford anybody
sometimes.
Better. It's a salary cap league. You can't go out and buy somebody better.
Not for LA. LA doesn't, salary cap doesn't apply to them. They seem to be able to go out and sign as many players as they want. I think Chad Barrett. No, what he is still employed by LA because they need to keep up the illusion that they are constrained by the same salary cap and roster rules as the rest of the league. They're like, well, I mean, look, yeah, sure, we've got Beckham and Keane and Donovan and Janino and these guys.
I can't be very good for his self-esteem.
But if we could do whatever we wanted, why would we still have Chad Barrett there? He's right there on the bench. Why am I making fun of him? I love the guy.
That's probably not good for Chad Barrett's self-esteem, but neither is having to hang around with good soccer players.
Ouch. Well, he doesn't play in Toronto anymore, so I still feel bad for him. You're still my boy, Chad. I'm sorry. Canadian Gooner, friend of ours, Tom, asks us, what really needs to get done to get TFC on the right path? Is it a management issue or players? Jamie, quickly, what do you think?
You keep asking me first.
Well, because you... Fine. Grant, what do you... Being the hardcore TFC fan as you are, what do you think they need to do to get on the right path? Is it players? Management? Question mark?
I'll go with question mark. I mean, I think if I had the answer
See, Jamie,
to that,
this is why I go
no,
to
if
you
I
first.
Had the answer... Well,
stop taking door number four. All right, I would say...
That's the exit.
Maybe it's a combination of a bunch of things where Winter... He came in with these expectations that he could make a very good team with a certain style, and they're just never going to be as good as he wants them to be, and that style needs to be kind of dialed down. I don't really know.
The style needs to be dialed down.
Yeah, because I mean, there's a lot of teams that
style.
The kind of his ideal team, a total football team, would be very stylish, and sometimes even the best total football teams are accused of being style over substance. And Toronto FC can't afford to play that kind of game.
Jamie,
right now.
Jamie, I know that you've been, you know, behind the scenes this year, and you've seen the stylish, all-matching pinstripe suits that all the players are wearing this year,
yes,
with sort of the purple shirts and the kind of salmon ties. So you can't say that they don't have any style. Ultimately, I think that people, they look at the MLS record, they say it's 0-5. This team can't possibly do anything. As if the Champions League games, the four of them they've played this year, never happened, and we never saw what the team was capable of. Is it a matter of management, players? I think, you know, it sounds like a cop-out, and Vinter talked about this after the last game last weekend, that sometimes it was just a bit of bad luck. I think that this team has what it takes to get it together and get on a roll. They have the talent. Whether they can actually fulfill what Vinter wants them to do is yet to be seen. I do sincerely hope that they get the chance to put it all together.
So you're saying they should do nothing?
Stay the course, man. Right. Mm-hmm. Grant, this comes from Z on Facebook. Don't you hate pants?
I do hate pants. I don't hate pants.
Grant,
as
your former roommate, I can corroborate that.
I would prefer not to wear them if I didn't have to. I'll
Good
put it that
gracious.
Way.
Well, we're coming into the warm part of the year, Grant. I mean,
exactly.
We're getting into pants optional territory.
Oh, Lord. So no one caught the Simpsons reference there? No one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Another one from Z, a more serious one. Is Simeon Jackson doing enough to stay at Norwich? Or Norwich, if you will?
Norch.
Norch? Is he a Norcher for life?
He seems
That's
like
a tough one.
He's a bit part player, but he doesn't seem out of place. Like, he's not obviously not fit for the Premier League. He's kind of handling himself well, and he's still relatively young. He's still not in the prime years for a striker, so he's got room to grow. But, I mean, they look like a team that's on the up, so whether or not they keep him.
Well, he
may not be the kind of player that's going to take them to the next level.
He must have a lot of goodwill from his scoring exploits to sort of get them into the Premier League.
Yeah.
I think that's probably counts on his side.
Yeah, I think that the fans at Norwich definitely, as you say, Grant, would have a soft spot for him based on his contributions last year. And you know, you say he's got room to grow, Jamie. Like 4 years ago, he was working at McDonald's, and now he's playing in the Premiership. So 4 years from now, I don't know, president of Earth, perhaps. Yeah. I mean, if he goes
playing on Mars,
I was just going to say president of McDonald's, but.
That's a pretty
lucrative. That's pretty much the same thing, I think.
Yeah, it's a pretty lucrative position.
Yeah, every squad will have, what, three or four strikers, right? And they can't all play all the time. So I think the role that he has there, I think
I've got something.
What?
Is he the Chad Barrett of Norwich?
How is he the Chad Barrett of Norwich?
Well, that would make like Grant Holt, Landon Donovan or some
such
thing.
Grant Holt's pretty good.
Yeah. Who's better, Grant Holt or Landon Donovan? On an objective basis.
I'd think you'd have to say Landon Donovan.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both kind of mid-level Premier League strikers.
Grant Holt is getting a bunch of England buzz.
Yeah, okay.
Well, not that means that.
Yeah, I think Grant Surridge will make England before Grant Holt does. But
You know, we're in talks.
Talking about Canadian strikers, this comes from our old friend Fred at La Tête de Fred on Twitter. He gave us about 15 questions as soon as we threw this open, so you'll probably hear from him again.
Inquisitive young man.
But the first one, he says, aside, it's kind of a strange question, but aside from Olivier Osien, who's on a scoring tear in the two Bundesliga, which Canadian striker would you want to be on a scoring run? I guess the idea is like, you know, Osien is obviously on a good run of momentum, but going into World Cup qualifying, who else do you want to see really catch fire?
Simeon Jackson.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Very much so. That'd be.
But will he stay at Norwich?
No.
Ooh, I see what you're doing.
Grant?
I'm going to give the same answer. I don't see how you could give any other kind of answer. He's the guy we have playing in the Premier League, and if he was scoring all these goals, that would be wonderful.
We have another guy playing in the Premier League. We just don't know if he wants to play for us.
That would really hurt if Junior Hoilett went on a huge run.
Well, I think he's been on pretty much a pretty good run for the last year and a half.
Well, that's true, but an even better run by his standards.
He ran faster.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Dwayne De Rosario only because this is, you know, just time-wise going to be his last hurrah with the Canadian men's national team. And having a guy who has a lot of goodwill still in Toronto where the World Cup qualifiers are being played, him getting more press, being on a good scoring streak, that could help move some tickets, and it's kind of sad that that's what's needed to move tickets. But anyway, that's another issue for another day.
Well, that's not that sad, having a player score a lot. It's
sad that you know, additional inducement is needed to get people to come out and buy tickets. And I'm gonna address this later on in promotion
relegation.
Additional
inducement maybe could be the promise of more chicken dances.
that's enough to get anybody going anywhere.
Yeah.
Another one from Fred. Aside from the god of microblogging, Ali Gerba, which Canadian player, male or female, is your favorite on Twitter?
Squiz, I'm going to go throw this one to you first because I think I know who it is.
Well, I have a couple, and I wanted to bring this up on a previous show, but I'll bring it up now. A man we were mentioning it a moment ago, Simeon Jackson, who only joined Twitter a number of weeks ago, and it was very interesting to watch him learn the ropes. I think it was kind of like seeing him make his way through Twitter was kind of like reading the transcript of an 80-year-old lady on the phone with like the TV technician trying to like figure out, you know, and he's telling her which buttons on the remote to press and she just can't quite grasp it. You know, he was asking Rio Ferdinand what a hashtag was, and he was just
I think that was the best. Was why like, was throw, he asking Rio Ferdinand?
I don't know.
Rio Ferdinand's good at Twitter.
I guess, yeah, he does tweet a lot.
He's in the Premier League, and so I hope he doesn't start asking like
Simeon Jackson.
I hope he doesn't ask Joey Barton for advice or something. That could get dangerous. Jamie, I'm going to throw it back in your mug and ask you what your answer
right
is.
Right in my mug.
Yep. You didn't have an answer? Come on, man.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, now I'm panicking here.
Oh, can I take it?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go with Dwayne De Rosario. Just because the things that he will tweet, just sort of, he just will randomly tweet like Europa League scores.
Yeah, like basic information.
It's just really funny. I don't quite know how what he thinks Twitter is used for or what his followers, it's like they don't have any other access to knowing what score on a random Europa League match.
And it'll even be like 2 days afterwards.
Yeah, just
I forgot to mention.
It's like it'll be times when there's something else like really big going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he'll just sort of pipe in with in the world of soccer and he'll just fire up with
your Twitter feed is just full of Sepp Blatter just died and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, Maribor 1 and, you know, Copenhagen 2. What?
Fundraising ice cream sale outside RFK Stadium this Saturday.
Exactly.
Check D-Row United
it's
for
vegan
updates.
Ice cream.
Naturally. Jamie, you got anything?
Karina LeBlanc. I'll go with her.
Yeah, there you go. She's a very entertaining person.
Yeah.
Brings us over to the women's team. A question from Pompey Canuck. What would your starting 11 made up of five members of either the men's or women's national team and six of the other? So you got a team of 11. There's either five members of the men's team and six members of the women's team, or six members of the women's team, five members of the men's team. I think I just... No, I said the same thing in the wrong order. Anyway, this
you
is
got
far,
11 players.
Yeah, this is far too complicated for, you know, us to get at right here. But Jamie, you got anything to add?
Why don't
here?
We? What if we just come up with a team amongst the three of us?
Okay,
that would be a bit easier.
We'd have Simeon Jackson.
Well, are we talking like current form or like theoretically? Because if you're looking for strike, well, theoretically, I mean, you know, I don't know, Junior Hoilett.
Could Jackson and Sinclair play together?
Ooh, yeah, there would be quite a bit of a rivalry running up there. I mean, on current form, you want to have Olivier
well,
Ossian
just made
in
that
there
up completely. They could. They probably may not even know each other.
Well, that,
or they may have met and be the best of
the
friends.
The way they play on the field, would they're playing? It's like, you know, Didier Drogba and Fernando Torres or something. Could you have those two together on the pitch at the same time?
Well, I think in this case it's Didier Drogba and whoever the leading scorer for the Ivorian women's national team is.
I don't know who that is. I'm getting at. I'm saying two sort of players like that. Can they play together at the same time successfully?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's hypothetical anyway. We've got this ability to rip through time space. Let's just make
stuff
up.
I'm
going to
say no, because there's no official competitions where men and women are allowed to play together anyway. So successfully, no.
What about mixed tag team matches in the WWE? Do they still have those?
If it was just like a CSA function and somebody had a soccer ball. And like, let's go play in the backyard or something.
Nobody at CSA functions knows what to do with a soccer ball.
Now, this discussion with Ben Knight is going to go well. So we picked two players there. Great. On we go.
And you can make up the other nine.
Yeah, just add in the names.
Goalie, midfielder, yada, yada.
Darren on Facebook asks us, what do you think the solution is to developing more attacking flair and creative talent in Canadian players from the grassroots level up? Another question that's far too complicated and intelligent for us to address quickly, so let's just throw out some nonsense. What do you guys think?
I would say teach kids how to play the game better.
Okay, Grant.
Bring kids from Brazil here.
Oh, that's a good one,
too. What are we, Qatar?
Yes.
Okay, so we should just steal as many kids as possible from Brazil.
We're like a Petronation. We're just a bit bigger, you know. We're a Petronation.
We've got oil.
More space.
Actually, yeah.
We've got tons of oil. Why aren't we getting Brazilian children in return?
I don't know. All of a sudden, you know, they're doing the next Canadian census. For some reason, the population of Fort McMurray is 85% Brazilian. How the hell did that happen? Sam Rowe on Twitter. He didn't cough, but I did. He asks us a long-running question that many people have had. Why do Jamie and Grant sound the same on the podcast? Is it a conscious effort or coincidence? Sound mixing? Cruel joke for fans? So let's clarify here. Jamie, let's hear one sentence that you've got to say that can distinguish you from Grant.
I don't know. What?
Okay, like, Grant, let's hear your distinguishing
sentence. I don't know. What?
Terrific.
All right, stop. That's not... I'm Jamie, and then Grant, you just say something in your normal Grant voice.
This is me in my normal Grant voice.
See, I hear the difference. Why does no one else hear it?
The questions for our time.
It is better now that we've got a proper studio and real microphones, and we're not just talking into a sock or whatever it was we were doing before.
Talking into a sock?
Puppet. Yeah, puppet.
That was also a microphone. It just was propped up by toilet paper rolls.
All right.
Pierce over in BC asks, I guess me specifically, will TFC be reimbursing you for a weekend of wasted time, referring to my trip to Montreal to watch TFC versus the Impact a couple weeks ago?
It's not so much a question as
it's more just a dig. I'm going to say no, I imagine they're not.
Oh, have you asked them?
What?
That's true, you haven't asked them.
You didn't try to get reimbursed.
Okay, well, if anyone at the Toronto Football Club would like to, you know, I've got receipts from, you know, hotels and
Super Sex poutine.
Yeah, all those places that were open in Honduras, they also have branches in Montreal. That's weird.
Interesting.
Anyway, Fouge, another longtime fan of ours, asks, do you think Jose Canseco will suit up for the Ottawa NASL franchise?
I really hope so.
It's weird that he asked because a colleague of mine at Sportsnet magazine just spent 3 days with Jose Canseco.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he alive? Like your
he's alive.
Your coworker made it out?
She. Even though, yeah, and barely. It was a close run thing there for a while. We were all kind of worried.
Her boss allowed that to happen?
There was a photographer with them at all times.
Okay. Was the photographer 6'8" with knife wielding skills?
No, apparently he was like a 52-year-old man.
Oh, that's effective. Grant, Jose Canseco, you know, old baseball slugger.
I know who he is.
Well, he's completely gone off the rails. He's playing down in Mexico. He's still trying to make.
No, he lives in Las Vegas.
Does he?
Yeah.
Well, didn't he get kicked out of the Mexican League or something?
It's hard to say what he does.
Anyway, follow him on Twitter. He seems to have completely gone, you know, in.
I'm just thinking of that show, Eastbound and Down.
He's very much like Eastbound and Down.
But, yeah, he's like.
I can't be the first one who's made that comparison.
He's like Kenny Powers, but, you know, kind of tragic because it's real life. Anyway, he got challenged to a home run hitting contest by some random guy in Ottawa and accepted. And Jose Canseco is going to go to Ottawa and have a home run derby against some guy. It's like a fundraiser for a hospital, a kids' hospital. So it's a good cause. But, yeah, I think the Ottawa NASL franchise should sign Jose Canseco to a one-day contract.
He's huge. Like, he's still a
ridiculously
big guy.
Has he ever expressed an interest in playing soccer?
He'll express an interest in...
Where is he from? Is he Cuban?
He's Cuban. What? He's from Cuba.
Yeah, okay. I wasn't sure. I didn't know.
Oh, okay.
Captain Canseco.
Yeah.
Canadian Gooner again says, grape nuts. They're neither a grape nor a nut. Discuss.
Oh, see, this has bugged me for a long time.
Yeah?
Because when I was a kid, I thought they were nuts because my dad ate them all the time with yogurt.
And grape nuts, eh?
And then I was just like, these aren't nuts. And grapes don't have nuts. Like, they have seeds inside. And I thought maybe these were just the dried up seeds of grapes.
Nah. It's just cereal.
It's really, it's just a kind of gross.
It doesn't taste like
cereal.
Grapes.
It's just pieces
I have nothing to add to this.
It's like bird food.
I don't think I've ever had a grape nut before.
They're not good. It's just crunchy pebbles.
Yeah, it's just a mass.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's just a mass produced cereal. I don't even know if they sell it in Canada. I haven't really seen it.
No, they sell it in Canada. They used to at least. It's just kind of garbage.
Do they sell Cookie Crisp now? Because that's the one I always saw.
Cookie Crisp.
Yeah, I always saw.
They used to.
But not anymore?
I don't know if they even make it anymore.
Well, next time I go over the border to Buffalo, I'll be sure to check.
I'm going to have to get you to do the Cookie Crisp thing.
Cookie Crisp.
Yeah, it's a dog in the commercials. Grant, you seem to... Did you not even eat cereal as a kid?
Yeah, nothing. Grant, no, I like Cheerios.
Grant,
that's all I ate was Cheerios.
You had to eat puffed wheat that came from, like, the bulk store in a 10-gallon bag.
Much like Dave McDonald, Grant likes things plain. Yeah.
10-pound, just a... A 10-gallon, 1-pound sack.
We bought it up the road at the general store.
Fluffed wheat air.
After we bartered.
What the hell are you two talking about?
Yeah, keep it going.
Grant grew up in the 1870s.
Terrific. Well,
near a trading post.
Grant, you're looking good for 140.
Thank you.
On the subject of food, Keto weighs in again asking, what are the odds that Logan Emery's mom makes a good meatloaf?
Is there some context to this?
No, today? It's just nonsense. Okay. Just say something. Grant, do you like meatloaf?
2-1.
Not really, no.
He's American, right?
Probably. Yeah, he played in Puerto Rico, but I'm pretty sure he's American.
That seems like an American kind of mom thing to do. I'm going to go
making
with
a meatloaf,
3.5 to 1.
All right. Grant?
I say that over 50% odds.
Ooh.
Yeah. That
wow.
She makes a good meatloaf.
All right. Well, I mean, everyone can follow him on Twitter, and if he says anything about meatloaf, we'll know that it came to fruition. Another quote-unquote serious question from Fred. We'll have to hit this quickly because we're up against it here, but should Atiba Hutchinson start for the men's national team at right back?
He's played a lot at Feyenoord, PSV, at right back, and he seems to be doing pretty well there, but I think it was just kind of a fill-in-the-gap kind of deal that they had somebody hurt. And I think that Canada can't afford to put their best player in the back right-hand corner. We kind of need him in the middle running the show.
That would be good. Grant, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Jamie on that one. Maybe if we had De Guzman Jr. or something, or Hoylett pop up miraculously before June, maybe you could move.
Or if De Guzman senior, which doesn't sound right, but Julian De Guzman was playing the way he used to.
Yeah. Well, if all of us could do things the way we were able to do it 4 years ago.
I wouldn't be sitting here doing this podcast, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
You'd be playing right back.
Exactly.
Doyle for right back. Forget Atiba Hutchinson. We got you right here, Jamie.
You saw me play in the Scores Charity Tournament at right back, and it was... Gah, it was awful.
Listen, man, we were a defensive powerhouse except for when we weren't. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that Jono over at Out of Touch, a good long-running Canadian blog, he wrote a pretty compelling case for why Atiba Hutchinson would make sense at right back for Canada. So I would advise you gentlemen to read it, and you may change him. All right.
Who did he have replacing him in midfield?
Well, you know, we're talking
details.
Here.
I hate having my mind changed.
I think we're going to close on this note because we got to get the heck out of here. Old colleague of ours co-hosted the show a number of weeks ago when Grant was traipsing off in India. Dwayne Rollins with being self-referential, as he is wont to do, says, Dwayne Rollins, maverick voice of Canadian soccer, or hopeless drunk likely to be stabbed to death at main event. Discuss.
Rollins asked a question about himself?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Oh, I thought that was submitted from someone.
No, that was...
We can still answer it.
Yeah. So, maverick voice of Canadian soccer, or hopeless drunk likely to be stabbed to death at main event, which is a well-known Manchester United pub here in Toronto.
My answer would be, why can't he be both?
I think that there's a good chance he may be.
I would say most maverick writers throughout history were also raging alcoholics.
Well, given the way...
I think they almost need to go together.
And I think given the way the EPL table stands right now, he's not going to get stabbed at the main event and more just kind of laughed out.
Which will add to the hopeless drunkenness.
Yes.
So, Jamie, you're somewhere in the middle as well?
I'm in the murky middle ground.
Dwayne Rollins, occasionally very effective at what he's trying to do. That's what I'll say. Anyway, moving from one writer, a Canadian.
You planned that one ahead of time.
Yeah.
No, not really.
That's cheating.
No, it just kind of came to me. Moving from one writer at Canadian Soccer News to another one. That brings us to the end of questions from the audience. We're moving into our chat with Ben Knight. He's been covering the game in this country for a very long time. He's been covering CSA reform and the CSA elections closely over the last couple of years. It may seem kind of dry and arcane stuff.
Not when we spice it up,
exactly. But there is some important stuff in here, and this does have an impact on, you know, the future of the game. So I would request that everyone stay tuned. After this, we would be speaking to the man himself.
Like a teacher talking to the class. I just want everyone to really make an effort to listen here.
Yeah, the way that
this is really important.
The way you're introducing this isn't doing anything to moisten a dry subject.
Ben Knight, after this. Joining us now on the line from Toronto, Ontario, the founder of Onward Soccer, which you can find at CanadianSoccerNews.com, Ben Knight. Ben, welcome back to the show.
Oh, nice to be back, guys. Nice to be back at Sportsnet. I was a day one original of the website, and I worked there for about 8 years.
Let's just let that one be. Ben, today we are going to be discussing not the sports media in Canada, but the governing body of soccer in Canada. You've been covering this. You've been keeping an eye on it over the last number of years, the movement towards reform in the Canadian Soccer Association, and the big event coming up on the horizon is the presidential election taking place in a couple of weeks. So maybe we'll just hit on that first. Who is in the running in the CSA presidential election, and what do they bring to the table?
All right, we have three candidates in the running. The first is the sitting president, Dr. Dominic Mastracci. He actually sent me his resume the other day. I don't really know what that was about.
Was he looking for a job?
But he is running for a second term in the belief that having landed the Women's World Cup, he would like to preside over it when it gets here. A lot of people feel that he didn't really actually have that much to do with it and would like to see him move on for someone who could perhaps communicate better and have a better reputation for leadership. Mastracci's reputation at the point is that the only people within the CSA who I can find who say they're going to vote for him are people who have a political reason to do so. So I'm not really sure that his chances for re-election are actually all that good. That leads us to the two vice presidents, Victor Montagliani, who is a dynamic lad from BC who knows his soccer very well, good connections in FIFA, been a driving force between a lot of other things, and Rob Newman from Saskatchewan, who was the head of the governance committee that brought in all these changes in the first place.
Now, all of this is kind of part of the, as I said, a larger movement towards CSA reform. I think the biggest standout moment was a day that's come to be known as Black Wednesday, a game that the three of us were at BMO Field in 2007. Hundreds of fans showed up, black T-shirts, sacked the CSA. It's not quite that simple, of course, but in the time since then, things have changed, specifically over the last year or two. So maybe for those who haven't been following it, or don't necessarily know what's going on, can you just give us an idea of what's happened over the last few years in terms of CSA reform that's brought us to this point where they're having a new presidential election?
Yeah, I sure can. In the back room at Metcalf Street, the CSA hideout in Ottawa, a small group called the Constitution Committee suddenly started coming up with ideas, significant big changing ideas. The biggest idea, and the one that is being implemented over the next couple of years, is that the presidents of the provincial and territorial soccer associations are being excused. And the main reason is they were doing double duty. They were representing their province, and they were trying to be a voice in Canadian soccer. A lot of conflicts come up along the way, and the idea is now to move that along. We're also moving towards a more streamlined board that, in addition to elected representatives from various points across Canada, will include some appointed board members who will be in there for their outside expertise in matters like, oh, I don't know, advertising, promotion, corporate connections, you know, things that can change the fact that the Canadian Soccer Association, that the Canadian national teams are funded to a very embarrassingly large extent by amateur playing fees. You know, little Bob and Gertie running around Burlington in a highlighter green soccer shirt are actually paying for the national soccer team. Now, it's not as bad as it used to be, but it still needs some work. So the point is to try to streamline the board, put it, take the national games and the national agenda away from the provincial one, and put the national team gasp in the hands of, oh dear, professionals.
I was going to say, I mean, not to oversimplify things, but would a fair way to summarize it to be that it's a movement towards a more professional setup where things have been more amateur-based in the past?
It is exactly that, and it is also a move towards unselfishness, if I may say, where the board members will be here for their love of soccer as opposed to their love of whatever perks lie around being associated with the CSA and, by extension, FIFA. Now, there are a lot of old guard people in the running for those board seats, but you know this. But we have to bear in mind this is a change. The structural change is in place. The cast of characters will rotate out, but it's going to take 2 or 3 years to get there.
So what kind of timeline are we looking at in terms of some of these changes being made? The presidential election is the beginning of May, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, the presidential election is the first weekend in May. At that point also will be appointed the six regional board members from various parts of the country. There are various people in the running for those, and we'll have three of the six appointed positions done. The other three will come up in a year. There's a bit of a staggered setup here, things like that. So we'll have a definite, as I say, the structure of what it's going to be is in place, awaiting these new people. It will take a couple of years of turnover to get all the provincial presidents out of there and to get all the appointed experts in.
So, Ben, it sounds like reform is very much in the air, but what kind of roadblocks could there be to stopping reform from actually happening?
I don't really think it's a case of stopping it. It's a question of how smooth the transition is, guys. We're basically at a point, as I say, where the structure is in place. The structure is constitutionally in place, so we're not going to have the old board anymore. A move to a new president would be a great help at this point, and I'm reasonably confident that can happen. But one never knows what kind of backroom deals might be going on. The reason I haven't been writing much late is because I've been investigating rumors of nasty backroom deals, and all of those rumors evaporate as I investigate them. So either the light is shining and they're backing off, or things aren't as bad as people thought they were. But basically, within 2 years, I would think, we will be in a position where you will have a board that is unrecognizable from the one we've got right now.
So, Ben, in terms of the presidential election, is there a front runner right now? Like, would you be able to predict who's ahead, who might win this thing?
That depends on what rumors are coming out of what boardroom right now. I am confident and have been saying so for a year and more that Dominic Mastracci has outstayed his welcome and will not get back in. That being said, I also know that Quebec is going to vote for him in the first round, and they have 25% of the vote, so he's halfway there in the first round. I don't think there's enough to get him over the top, and I think after that, I think Quebec is free after that to look at either a new Newman or Montagliani. I think it's hard for me to comment exactly because I haven't really spoken to Rob Newman yet. We have him scheduled for an interview on Canadian Soccer News. All three of these gentlemen are going to be interviewed, and the interviews are going up on Monday evening on CanadianSoccerNews.com. Until I've actually spoken to the man and have a better sense of him, I don't really know what's going on. I suspect that if there's an anybody but Montagliani movement out there, they're going to coalesce around Rob Newman, but it's a question of whether there's enough of them out there to do it. I would say Victor's the favorite. I think Victor should be the president, but as I say, this is still a political game, and we don't know for sure.
Now, you mentioned, you know, the some of the supposed shenanigans that have taken place in the past at the CSA, and this is something that fans have long complained about. They've said that it's a phrase you've used earlier, a bit of an old boys club, but you have spoken as well about some people that you believe have made a positive impact on the CSA. One of those people is the CSA's general secretary, Peter Mitopoli, who came into that role a couple of years ago. From your perspective, what has his impact been as the reform process has gone along?
Oh my goodness! What happens if you put a guy in a boat trying to row in 11 different directions? What happens if you put a guy in there who actually knows how to captain a ship? That basically is what happened. Mitopoli was appointed a few short years ago after yet another backroom board upheaval at Metcalf Street, and since then things have settled down. Things have settled down nicely. Corporate sponsorships are coming in. We have the CSA had the wisdom to learn to work for the fans in Toronto to set up actual supporter sections at Canada home games. And that doesn't seem like a big thing, but you gentlemen and I, we all know that's a big thing. Essentially, the CSA stopped making mind-destroying gaffes when Mitopoli showed up. There's still a lot of undue naivety there. There are still departments in that place that just plain don't function right. But the vision's coming clear, and then all of a sudden this whole reform movement coalesced out of absolutely nothing. And as glad as I am that we're here, and as worried as we all are that, I don't know, is it going to take an extra year or two? If you told me 2 years ago we'd be here now, I would have thought you were nuts. I would have thought it would take another decade, another 20 years, or till everybody died off and a new batch came in. So things are coming along nicely. Mitopoli has been a huge stabilizing factor, a basic go-to guy who can keep his head down, keep out of the way, and get things done. And I think that's actually the model for the new board. We don't want a president now who's going to be in the spotlight, who's going to be a big dominating factor. We want a guy who could chair a meeting, evoke a vision, and Rob Newman certainly can do that. That's his reputation. He's a brilliant guy at running meetings. Montagliani has more connections in the actual game of soccer and a greater sense of the game of soccer. So that's sort of why I tend to lean his way at the moment. But as I say, I haven't spoken to Rob Newman yet, and afterwards I might feel different. We'll see what happens. But Mitopoli's been a huge stabilizing factor, and things definitely noticeably got better once he came in.
So Ben, just to sort of recap here, you said it may be up to 2 years before we see a totally different board.
Yeah, well, this is because there can still be, under a compromise deal brokered by Ontario and Quebec a year ago when this whole thing started out, there can still be as many as three provincial or territorial presidents on the board this year, two next year, one the year after that. So it'll take a while to get all the conflicts out of the way. But the days of guys serving two masters holding the majority of seats on the CSA board are in fact done. It'll take an extra year to get all of the appointed seats in because there are some people whose terms aren't up. For example, Montagliani, as vice president, he still has a year left on his term. So if he loses the presidential race, he's still the sitting vice president. That election comes up in another year. The new board members who are elected will have 3-year, 2-year, and 1-year terms depending on what order they get elected in. Don't let me lose you here. But that will basically be so that the board turns over a third every year instead of all every 3 years, which will smooth things along quite a bit. But yeah, as it shakes out, though, it'll take a good 2 years before we really know exactly what we've got. But what we are going to have on May the 6th is going to be a big improvement over what we've got now.
And one thing you've mentioned is that, in your opinion, we don't really want or need a president who's very visible and very out there in the media. But is it not odd that the biggest participant sport in the country 99.9% of the people involved in a you know my kids play kind of way have no idea who's running the show.
I think that's probably because what we're hoping for, and I maybe my idealistic side may be showing here, we may be hoping for the show as opposed to who's running it. You know, if we've got a steady professional hand with good connections out there, what really matters is that the Montopolis of the world are running it. What really matters, I mean, all the big changes in player development, for all that the CSA is trying to come up with its master vision about how everything will be done in this country, it's going to be the four professional teams and the ones that come after them, whichever ones come next, that are actually going to do the heavy lifting of player development in this country with their various academies. You know, the CSA can talk about what training exercises they'll do as a kid and how they will develop until they're about 15 or 16, but by the time they're that age, if they've got any real ability to play MLS soccer or play anywhere, they'll be at a pro team and they'll be learning there. So, I mean, you know, the guys who are running for the CSA presidency see themselves as running soccer in this country, but the fact is soccer in this country has been running itself for a very long time, because we've had a considerable vacuum at the CSA.
That's been Ben Knight. As he said earlier on, he's going to be speaking to the three members or the three candidates in the CSA presidential election, and people can check out those interviews going up on Canadian Soccer News on Monday, Ben?
Yes, that is the plan for Monday. Yes, indeed.
All right, just quickly before you go, Ben, with everything you've seen, you've been covering the game for a long time in this country. Obviously, there's going to be no change overnight, but generally speaking, is there a reason for hope and optimism in Canadian soccer the way things are going right now as it relates to the governing body?
There has been reason for hope and optimism ever since the deal was done to bring Toronto FC here. That was the moment that really changed everything. The deal where BMO Field could be built, that could be done. And I don't mean that in a Toronto-centric way. I mean that was the sense where the game overtook the obstacles that the CSA was placing in front of it, and things the floodgates opened, Peter Montopoli arrived, and all of a sudden you've got competence in Metcalf Street and a game that doesn't really need the CSA to go forward. Now, if we could just get a CSA that can play its role solidly and clearly, and then we can bring things together. Then we can bring the national teams up and around to the point where everything else is starting to get now.
It's been Ben Knight. For everything you need to know about CSA reform, the presidential election, everything like that, head over to Onward Soccer at CanadianSoccerNews.com. Ben, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Anytime, guys. Great to talk to you. Take care.
That brings us, of course, to the segment of the show that we call Promotion Relegation. We each pick a story we like to promote and a story we don't like to relegate. Grant, since I see you messing around on your BlackBerry checking your talking points, I know that it's the time for me to ask you, who or what would you like to promote?
I am going to promote a gentleman who plays in the Bundesliga 2 for St. Pauli.
Yeah.
His name is Maurice Ebers.
Yeah.
And this was in a game last week. This was a fairly important game. The score was tied at 1. He scored a goal. He was trying to head the ball into the net off of a cross and sort of screwed everything up, and it ended up going in off his hand. And he knew that, and the linesman didn't see it, the referee didn't see it, but he actually went to the ref and told them to overturn the goal.
And they did?
And they did.
Oh, that's heartwarming.
They overturned very heartwarming. And the best part is one of the guys on the other team went up to him to sort of like shake his hand and like, you know, thank him for doing that, and he shoved him away. Like, I don't want your pity. Get out of my face.
He's like, I've done my good deed for the day. I'm not also going to shake your hand.
Exactly. And they went on to win anyway.
There you go.
That's, I like that happening.
Karma, it's like a fairy tale.
Was it DeCanio won the, like, Sportsman of the Year? No, or some kind of award when there was, like, a player injured and the cross came in and he just, like, rather than scoring a goal, kind of grabbed the ball a number of years ago.
Yeah, when he was at West Ham.
Yeah. And then he made a bunch of fascist salutes.
He did. He continues to do that.
Right then and there after catching the ball.
Well, no.
I caught the ball. Look at this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be very ill-advised. If the guy in the 2 Bundesliga did it too.
Ooh.
Probably go to jail. Jamie?
Well, I mean, being an Italian, it doesn't make it much better.
Well, no, I'm just saying that I think in Germany you go to jail if you do that.
Yeah. All right. Oh, okay.
Okay, Jamie?
Yes.
Who or what would you like to promote?
I'm promoting former Paraguayan international Salvador Cabanas. You might remember just before the last World Cup, Paraguay was looking pretty good,
Looking pretty good at the World Cup.
Yeah, they were, despite the fact
Marissa
that Cabanas...
Marissa Riquelme looked good the whole time.
Okay, yeah, she did. Yeah. Paraguay was quite good at the World Cup, despite the fact that Cabanas, who is one of their best players got shot in the head in a Mexican bar like about a month before the tournament.
Apparently, the bathroom of a nightclub.
In the bathroom. And he got somehow into a disagreement with a man who maybe is alleged to be a Mexican drug lord. Then went to the bathroom and, got shot in the head. But he's back now. I'm promoting him because he's not only survived being shot in the head, but he's back, and he's back playing soccer. He's playing in the Paraguayan third division for a team called the 12th of October. I'm not going to try and pronounce it in Spanish, but this is where he began his career back in 1997. It's ridiculous. He got shot in the head, and now he's back playing soccer.
Can I add sort of a dark note to the story?
No.
Oh, goodness.
No. All right, yeah.
I was reading that part of the reasons he's back to playing is because he's still trying to get money from his team, his former Mexican team, and he's sort of playing because he needs money, and there's kind of people concerned that maybe with a bullet still in his head, he shouldn't really be playing soccer.
Well, yeah, they couldn't get the bullet out, and you can imagine that heading the ball could jar something loose. It jars something loose on regular guys who don't have bullets lodged in their head.
But wait, could it jar it in a good way? Could it, make it pop out of his ear or something?
No, I think the only thing it could do probably is hurt.
Hey,
him
we
more.
Aren't doctors.
No, we gave medical advice earlier on. Yeah, I'm getting closer every day to being a doctor. And this is Club America was his Mexican team.
Yeah, it's the biggest clubs in Mexico.
Yeah, so I mean that is a dark side to it. Thank you very much, Grant. But the point is, this is such a positive promotion.
I needed.
This is a human triumph, coming back from adversity. You know. I like it.
Human triumph with a bit of a dark side.
That's life in a nutshell.
Always such a naysayer.
Yeah. Well, you guys have these two nice, inspiring stories about people, doing good things. I'm going to kind of do that, but, tie in moral outrage as I always tend to do. I'm going to promote, I guess in the most literal sense, the upcoming quartet of games that the Canadian men's national team is playing at BMO Field this summer. The friendly against the States, the three World Cup qualifying games. And I've been doing a lot of this, using whatever means I can to tell people about the game. One person actually said to me, "Wow, you're really talking these games up. Are you on commission from the CSA?" To which my answer is, "No, I wish."
Certainly open to it.
Ben was telling us just a minute ago, the CSA kind of getting their act together now a little bit as it comes to promotion and corporate sponsorships and all of that. But it still does fall on folks like us to get out there and chat up these games. So, if you're in the Toronto area, if you can get to these games, buy your damn tickets. Because if you don't, people cheering for Honduras or Panama or Cuba or the U.S. will. Now, as a byproduct of this, I'm also going to promote in the, chatting them up sense.
Wait a minute. He's getting two promotions.
No. It's all in the same.
Yeah, all right.
Fine. I'll forego one in a future week. The entities and organizations that have stepped forward and are working to fill the stands with Canadian fans. I'm talking about the youth soccer clubs who, like Oakville, Jason DeVos over at Oakville, they've bought, I believe, over 600 tickets. Umbro Canada was talking about the fact that they've sold to their member clubs or to the youth clubs they have partnerships with, 2,700 tickets. So that's a great thing. Hopefully that keeps going on. And another thing Ben talked about was sponsorships and the importance of that, and that if the game is really going to grow in this country, there needs to be a greater amount of corporate sponsorship. When the CSA has more money, they're going to be able to do more things. They're going to be able to provide more resources to the teams. And thinking about this kind of got me thinking about something that happened to me last week. So if you guys will just, indulge me for a moment here.
Is this a personal corporate sponsorship story of your own?
Are you being sponsored?
Yeah, Squiz, brought to you by Drano.
This is just the first company you could possibly think of was Drano.
I thought of Visa, but no offense, I think they're too good for you.
Oh, boy. Just something happened to me last week, and it's kind of highlighting stuff that we're talking about. The sun was shining down brightly one day last week. I felt fit and ready for the big day ahead of me.
Wait, I just want to stop for a second and just note that you've written all this out.
This
isn't how Squiz normally talks. Yeah. He doesn't think in this way off the cuff.
I started things off, as most people do, with breakfast. A Nutella sandwich, some Del Monte fruit snacks, a handful of Nutrilite supplements, and a big bottle of Powerade. Seems like an odd combo, I know, but trust me, it was delicious. Being a sunny day as it was, I made sure to put on lots of banana boat sunscreen before heading out. I slapped on my jacket and shoes, from Umbro Canada, naturally, and hopped into my shiny new Chevrolet Cruze. Hitting the road, I felt good. I felt secure, even more secure, knowing that I was covered by State Farm car insurance.
Good God.
Knowing I need cash,
wait a minute.
I hit a You really don't get what I'm doing,
Grant?
No, I
get what you're doing. I'm just going back to the banana boat sunscreen.
What?
They sponsor Canadian soccer?
This is the point. People now know this. Knowing I'd need cash, I hit up the nearest BMO bank machine, which was conveniently close by. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw some kids playing soccer, a heartwarming sight. The grass beneath their feet was green and lush. I thought. Probably Scott's Turf Builder. The kids attacked their Quick Goal brand soccer nets with enthusiasm and, above all, intelligence. So I assumed they'd been studying at a Kumon Learning Center. Back on the road, I didn't just notice how many AMJ Campbell Van Lines vehicles I saw, but how happy people seemed to be driving them. At last, I reached my destination and checked into the Intercontinental Brand Hotel. The courteous woman at the check-in counter quickly printed my receipt, and boy, did it look good. Must be a Canon printer, I thought. Seeing such great value made me instinctively reach in my pocket, where a few pennies were jangling around. Shame about the penny, I thought, but there are lots of other great uses for copper, as the good people at Tech could surely tell you. Finally, I got to my clean, well-appointed room and decided it was time to relax, so I sat down, flipped on the TV, and was instantly impressed with the action on Sportsnet.
I like how you saved that one for the last, you horrible corporate shill.
And that, folks...
Banana boat sunscreen. How do they sponsor? What, did people on the sidelines, they have banana boat sunscreen?
Do you, like...
when you play soccer, you're out, you know, if you're a kid, you're out in the sunshine. Speaking as a redhead, I can vouch for the need for sunscreen.
Anyway, folks, Canadian soccer could do with some more money.
Sounds like you just ran through. They already have about 50 sponsors there.
Yeah, or sponsons, if you will. Mm. Grant?
Yes.
Who or what would you like to relegate?
I'm going to relegate Pelé.
He's getting a lot of that these days.
He's gone out now, and he's claimed that not only is Messi's not better than him, Messi's not even better than Neymar.
If Neymar,
dead silence. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Neymar has never done...
I think that's fairly ridiculous.
But isn't he in this war of words with Diego Maradona about it now?
He's in a war of words with everybody.
Well, yeah, and Maradona's in a war of words with everybody.
He's in an internal war.
He's in a war.
To be fair, Pelé was saying this at a Santos event. Yeah, and that's the club that he played for and the one that Neymar plays for.
Yeah.
You got to play to the crowd.
Good for him, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing to the crowd.
I'd just like to note that Leo Messi has now scored 60 goals this year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He got five in one Champions League game, for God's sake.
How many has Pelé scored?
Yeah. Zero. Doesn't even play in the Champions League.
Never did. But you know what he does score? Corporate sponsorships.
Pelé is king of the soccer field. To be king of your kitchen, use Crestfield wax paper.
You want somebody who's got all the banana boat sunscreen they can handle.
That is not an actual product as far as I know, but if there is a brand called Crestfield Wax Paper, the Canadian Soccer Association, I'm sure, is still taking corporate sponsorships.
I would actually buy that. That would be my wax paper of choice. If somebody just made
Crestfield
up
wax paper.
Because of that, they actually now made Crestfield Wax Paper as like an ironic thing. I would buy that.
I was going to say, Jamie, how much wax paper do you use? But you actually enjoy baking, so...
That's more parchment paper.
Oh, get the... Jamie.
I never use wax paper.
Jamie.
Yeah, neither do I.
Who or what are you going to relegate?
I'm relegating Silvio Berlusconi. As is,
Hey, look, a dead horse. Let's kick it.
Legal courts across Italy. This is just... We're all familiar with his infamous Bunga Bunga parties, where the AC Milan owner... just hosted, as president of Italy, hosted various
parties where there was
scantily,
a lot of bunga going on.
Yeah, there was. I mean, and he's embroiled.
I'd say just having women that were scantily clad there doesn't quite cover all.
No,
it
certainly doesn't. First of all, I just love the fact that in this whole trial, Mario Balotelli and George Clooney were both called as like witnesses. That's outstanding to begin with. But this recent twist in the tale is the most troubling of all. One of the Bunga Bunga girls, he had them dressed with an AC Milan jersey and a Ronaldinho mask as she stripped down to her thong. So essentially you're looking at Ronaldinho's kind of...
No, don't.
The face
don't,
of a,
no.
a... The ghost of a horse. And a
bunga
naked,
bunga.
Probably a very lovely female body.
Yeah, that's really
horrifying.
Weird.
It's horrifying.
That is really weird.
So basically, I'm relegating him for ruining strippers for everyone everywhere. Because now you can't you can't go to the strippers and not see Ronaldinho's
face. At all super sex locations worldwide.
Yeah, Honduras, Costa Rica, Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to continue my moral outrage. It's not going to be as expansive as the last one was. I'm going to relegate, in a broad sense, the MLS midseason friendlies against big European clubs. It was quasi-confirmed this week that Toronto FC will be playing against Liverpool.
Wait a minute, I thought you said big European clubs.
Hi-oh! Bam.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah, Toronto FC versus Liverpool. You know, I've been talking to, you know, as many people as I could, and I realized that, you know, it's yelling into an echo chamber sometimes, but it seems that a lot of the people I've talked to are on board, just not liking this idea. It's probably exacerbated by the fact that TFC has started quite poorly in the MLS season, but in a general way, and I wrote about this on CSN, so you can get all of my, you know, ranting out over there, but essentially I called it a waste of everyone's time. If you're a Liverpool fan, longtime Liverpool fan, you supported them before Toronto FC existed and you live in Southern Ontario, hey, it's good news for you. You get to see the club you supported, see them live. Hey, you know, fair enough. Good for you. But as someone who wants to see the game grow in this country, I just think these midseason friendlies, whether it's Toronto and Liverpool or whoever, it just, you know, it brings up the stereotypes of MLS as a Mickey Mouse two-bit league. It doesn't delude anyone into saying, well, look, an MLS club is playing against an EPL club. They're on the same footing. It's pathetic to move the, you know, to rearrange your league games, which are ostensibly the important thing. I mean, MLS clubs should be worrying about winning the MLS Cup and advancing in the CONCACAF Champions League, not playing midseason friendlies. And when you're rearranging those games simply to give these touring super clubs something else to put on their schedule, it just makes the league seem even more Mickey Mouse than the people who don't like it already think that it is.
Now, you know, I was thinking about this on the subway here, and I think I may have come up with kind of a solution for this. Mm-hmm. TFC's owners, instead of having Liverpool play TFC,
yeah,
they should have Liverpool play the Toronto Maple Leafs in a soccer game.
Yeah, all right.
Because put it this way, the Liverpool fans still get to see Liverpool. They're going to pay the money. Toronto Maple Leafs fans will pay anything to see the Toronto Maple Leafs players do anything.
That's true.
It's good exercise for them in the offseason. Many of them are European. They probably play soccer anyway. They probably play soccer quite well. Maybe even almost as good as some of the guys on TFC.
Zing.
Yeah.
Same ownership, you know?
Yeah, MLSC gets their money. Liverpool gets their money. MLS gets their money. Everybody gets to see the teams they want to see. Everybody's happy. I can't see anything wrong with that whatsoever.
You know what?
Well, I think that, yeah, I think you're right.
I agree. And they should all play on skates.
No, that now you're just making it silly.
Yeah, so you're right.
That's crazy. I have what might be a helpful analogy to bolster your point.
Okay.
And it's kind of like the bad 80s TV sitcom cameo appearance. Where everyone's just like...
We did this last week.
No, but it's very much like that. Liverpool just kind of pops in the middle of Toronto FC's season, which is kind of like, you know, an episode. And it's just like, what are they doing here? It's mental.
Chris Martin playing at a factory in Wigan.
There
it's
it is.
Mental.
Yep.
Exactly.
How many weeks in a row can I quote Ricky Gervais?
Yeah. And nobody buys it as a legitimate
quote.
Nobody buys it as a legitimate thing. And they just kind of show up and look around and like everything stops while people applaud for no reason because somebody's walked into the room. And it's just, it doesn't advance anything. It's just kind of a cop-out to get ratings, or in this case, money.
Or a cop-out with a K. Hey!
I disagree.
Well, right. I mean, as you said last week, it would be like Mario Balotelli on Different Strokes.
Did I say that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well, I didn't say it last week because I had monkey bum.
Yeah.
Well, whenever you said it.
2 weeks ago.
You uttered those words.
That brings us to the end of promotion relegation, but on to a special edition of Taste the Trivia. Normally, this would be the time of the show where we provide a trivia question, mm-hmm. Someone answers it correctly, they get Umbro swag, they provide a question for next week, if the ball rolls along. This week's edition is hermetically sealed in and of itself, so we're not going to use the winner from last time. Their question will be deferred to next week, and this week's winner will not have to provide a question for next week. This is just a straight-up giveaway. Anyone can enter this except for the three of us or, you know, SportsNet employees, blah, blah, blah.
Sorry, we're giving away two tickets.
Anyone who works at KPMG, usually for whatever reason.
Yeah, PricewaterhouseCoopers, sorry, you're out of luck. But anyone can enter this, even if you've already won on Taste the Trivia in the past. So what's up for grabs? Pair of tickets to Canada v. Honduras at BMO Field, June 12th, World Cup qualifying. I'm kind of paranoid, so I may ask people to get this from us in person just so I know it's not going to get resold or whatever. But anyway...
And he'll be looking for you. If you're not at the game and he hands you those tickets and he doesn't see you in the stands, he'll track you down.
The question is as follows. In the context of Canadian soccer, What do the following three locations and dates have in common? Guatemala City, Guatemala on November 11th, 1980, Burnaby, BC on October 15th, 1985, and Kingston, Jamaica on October 18th, 1992. Again, that's within the context of Canadian soccer, so not, oh, they're all in the Western Hemisphere. There were people there. The sun was out.
Never been in my living room.
Specific answer we're looking for. Guatemala City, Guatemala, November 11th, 1980. Burnaby, BC, October 15th, 1985. Kingston, Jamaica, October 18th, 1992. If you have the right answer and you can tell us what those three dates have in common in the context of Canadian soccer, head over to our Facebook page at facebook.com/somecanadianguys. If you were the first one to provide the correct answer, you will be the recipient of two tickets to Canada v. Honduras in World Cup qualifying this June.
Do you know where those tickets are in the stadium? Are they in the supporter section?
No, I don't know where they are. These tickets have been provided to us by the CSA. So okay. I've yet to pick them up, so I don't know where they are. They're in the stadium. There will be
seats.
Well,
that's good.
You know, you'll go through gates. You can buy snacks, beer. There will be washrooms, everything you need. Most of all, you'll hopefully be wearing red and cheering for the correct team.
And I'd say one thing, if you do win, and to the winner, congratulations, but also, why didn't you have your tickets already?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway.
These might be better, and they may come with some kind of, they came from the CSA perk. We don't know that.
Yeah,
I can't speak to that, but if it gets you to enter the contest, I'll plant that seed.
Yeah, anyway, if you can figure it out, head over, give us the answer there. And, you know, if you can get to this game, if you haven't already bought your tickets and you're not the winner of this contest, go out and buy them. Bring your friends. Bring anyone that you think will be willing to come out and cheer for Canada. Because, damn it, I'm tired of being overshadowed by away supporters in Canadian stadium.
Yeah, bring everyone you can find except for the Honduran exchange student who's living in the basement.
Yeah.
Leave him at home.
Leave him at home. Jamie, what are you up to this week?
Oh, this and that.
All right. No monkey bum? Writing anything?
No. There's a new Sportsnet magazine came out today on shelves, you know, well, not every shelf probably, but on certain specific shelves near you. A little bit about Total Football in there.
I find it funny that you use like this podcast with a pretty narrow esoteric fan base as a means of promoting the like national magazine
Maybe they weren't going to buy it anyway. Yeah. Oh, there's something in there about Total Football.
There is something in there about the game-changing event of Total Football.
You can just read it on the internet.
No, there is an iPad extra for the Total Football.
All right.
Stuff. And we're also doing a bunch of exciting Canadian soccer stuff. That'll be coming out in the magazine, but in the future.
Really?
So you can look forward to that.
In the year 2000.
Huh. Yeah,
Grant,
sometime
quickly.
In the new millennium.
Grant, quickly, something.
I will be at Canadian Soccer News, just sitting there.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, there you go.
So if you walk on by, just come on
just
in.
Say hello.
Yeah, you can also say hello to me and Ben Knight, who we had on, and all sorts of other people writing about things having to do with soccer, as we do on this show. Hopefully no one will get monkey bum, and we will be yammering at you again next week.
Hopefully no one will go to Canadian soccer thinking it's a place where they can see. It's not. It's just an internet.
It's a website, CanadianSoccerNews.com. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at Daniel Squizzato, DanielSquizzato. Jamie at Doyle_Jamie. Grant at SCG Grant. We'll be yammering at you again next week. Till then, we are, as always, some Canadian guys talking about soccer.